Society. This week's theme is Parasite. And let's introduce our guests. This week, it's lucky number 11, Chloe Slevin. Chloe, which parasite are you going to champion for us today?
I'm going to do ticks as a whole. So not one particular species, but ticks in general.
Ooh, okay. That's a wide remit. Our next guest is Hannah Van Hesteren. She's Imperial College's very own Batwoman. Hannah, which creature will you be championing today?
Love that I'm the Batwoman for the whole of Imperial College. I feel like that is I like that. Yeah, I'm doing a group of species as well. Pompilidae wasps, which are parasitic wasps that prey on spiders.
Ooh, cool. Poor spiders. I like spiders. All right, and finally, we have Joy Aston. Joy is a documentary maker, zoologist, and intern at Into Science. Joy, which parasite will you be championing today?
I'm going to go even a step further. I'm doing an entire phylum.
Nice.
They're the Nematomorpha, so they go viral on Facebook for being the worms that come out of things like mantids, cockroaches, and stuff. So they're kind of like nematodes, but not. So they're the Nematomorpha, but they're more commonly known as horsehair worms.
Okay, so your horsehair worms are hosts
cockroaches,
all kinds of things.
Beetles, mantids, sometimes crustaceans, all sorts. We're going broad.
Okay. And I'm Catherine Webb. All right, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds. In each round, the creatures will have to face a scenario and try to survive it. If you feel like your creature is not up to the task, you can turn over your wild card. You can only do this once during the competition. At the end of each round, your creature will be judged. The judge's rule is final, and I am the judge. Don't mess with me. Okay, and on with the first scenario. Okay, scenario. I thrive on chaos. And although I don't wish to be infected by parasites, I'd love it if they could close down my place of work for a few days. Can you do it?
So ticks 100% could. So some species of ticks invade homes, and that's really nasty if you get ticks in your house. So it's not like your dog would just get a tick in the garden and then bring it into your home. It's like a whole species of house ticks that live and breed inside your home, probably feed on humans as well. So, I mean, the ticks could definitely close down your work, but at what price?
Right.
I'm not sure if you would enjoy it.
They would come into my place of work, infest it.
Yeah.
What, have you got a particular species in mind? Or is there lots of species that might do this?
One of each.
I don't know the species off the top of my head that comes into your home.
Okay.
But they're definitely out there, 100%.
All right. And what would they? Why would I not be able to go to work? If they were in my work.
So out of fear.
Yeah.
For not getting bitten by ticks, and B, it's a health hazard for everyone at work. So yeah, I'd go down the health hazard route.
Okay. Do they spread disease?
Yes. Yeah. So some ticks they bite warm-blooded animals, feed on their blood, and then in doing so, if the tick is carrying any internal parasites, so it's parasites on parasites, if they're carrying any internal parasites, they can transmit that into whatever they're feeding on their blood. Okay. So yes.
Right.
So if you got bitten by a tick, you would want to see a doctor and make sure you don't have any nasty infections.
All right, cool. Who else is going to shut down my place of work?
I think I probably could. Probably just temporarily using, I'm going to choose one species to represent the spider wasps here, which is tarantula hawks. So they're of the genus Pepsis, and they rate number 4 on the Schmidt Pain Index, which is only one sort of, the only thing that's rated higher than that are bullet ants, the bites from bullet ants. So it's described as blinding, fierce, and shockingly electric. And it's also described as a running hairdryer has been dropped into your bubble bath. So either everyone at work will be in huge amounts of pain and not able to get out of bed or the bath, or they'll all come in with the ability to read the minds of women, if anybody has seen What Women Want. And, you know, if you're the woman that they're reading the mind of, which is, I don't want to be here, maybe they'll close the workplace.
Maybe they'll just sack me.
Or that.
I don't know
whether
that's desirable.
So I've got a question for you first. How much do you want, like, how much is your, like, dislike of your co-workers? Do you really, really dislike your co-workers, or do you, like, not mind them?
Okay, right. It's quite theoretical at the moment, because I actually haven't got a job.
This is why I'm asking.
Are you just outing
normally,
her?
Normally, no. I really like most of my co-workers.
Oh,
I have
okay.
had, I'd say, one or two co-workers that I would not mind inflicting some mild pain on to get out of work for a day or two.
It's only a day or
back
two.
Back in the day, yeah.
Because I've got two levels of... Okay. So the nematomorphs, some of them act on their hosts to control their minds and force them to drown themselves in some cases. So that was why I was like, how committed to disrupting the workplace are you?
That's
and choose your answer.
That's excellently evil.
So there you go, that's my answer.
Okay, that's hard to judge. So, tell me the name of your creature again.
Nematomorphs, or horsehair worms.
So your horsehair worm could potentially, not really, but in a different, was it if my co-workers were a different species, could get into them.
Well, they don't know, they don't know the mechanism of this brain control yet. So I think it might be some kind of molecular mimicry or something. So there's over 2,000 species of these worms. I don't know how many of them do this, but, you know, imagine if for whatever reason, by chance, the brain chemistry they're acting on in the insect is the same as some kind of brain chemistry in us, you know, theoretically. Wild.
Okay. I'm not going to go for that, because I think... You know, as a student of ethics, I'm not sure it passes through any moral framework that I've looked at recently. I think my best bet is the ticks.
Ticks are also pretty easy to transport.
Lifelong illness, some of them
yeah.
can carry.
Yeah.
Evil but easy.
Just like joy.
Well, I think that with the ticks it could actually happen. I'm hoping they're not going to give people lifelong illnesses. I was just hoping for everyone to be a bit scared and go have a few days off.
There's that risk.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with the ticks. The ticks are the winners there. Okay, scenario number two. Ooh, all right. Scenario, parasites get a bad rap. Make the case that your parasite is actually a really good guy who we should all love and appreciate. I feel like, given what you've just told me, Joy,
I'm going to play my wild card. I'm just going to... Leeches. Leeches are kind of endearing, you know, they just want a little cuddle. You don't even feel it when they bite you, and then they drop off when they're done.
Yeah.
They're a nice pet. I had one for a while.
I remember that. I feel like that leech helped you pull once as well.
No, it didn't. Not quite.
So can we talk about that story?
There's a story there.
So yeah. Henry lent me this leech that he had.
Casual.
And he was going to Switzerland, so I was like, I'll look after it while you're gone. And he gave it to me in this tiny little mason jar. But we were going to the pub after uni, so I took it with me. But you can't keep the lid closed because... He has to be able to breathe. The leech had to be able to breathe. So we had to keep it with, like, you know, the lid of the mason jar slightly open on the table, but keeping an eye on him so he didn't get out in the pub.
Cool. So your argument is basically that they don't cause a lot of harm. And
people are intrigued by them.
And they make good pets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weren't leeches used in medicine at some point as well? What did they do then?
They were to suck all the badness out.
Yeah, yeah. In medical terms, sucking the badness out.
It's for when you have an oversupply of blood. Mm. You need to get rid of some. Perhaps. All right, ticks. Why are ticks good guys? Why do we love them?
I love them, but I'm struggling with this question, so I also might go wild card.
Okay.
So, head lice.
Have you ever seen someone's hair absolutely full yeah. of head lice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So head lice are great because they really teach kids how to persevere long term, you know? So that's where I'm going to go down this teaching route.
What are we learning to not rub our heads together?
Yeah.
To not be friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's
no
part
hugging.
Of
no
growing
cuddling.
Up.
Yeah. lack of human contact.
Yeah. It's like a stage you have to go through.
Then you're a teenager.
Yeah. Knocks you down a bit reversed. And then you get built back up when you're free of them. So yeah, I guess I don't feel like this answer is very strong.
Coming from Chloe, she's not touched anyone in 5 years.
Oh, this is really sad.
But does anyone else have any other positive things about head lice?
I would have said that head lice used to be able to get you half a day off school.
Yeah.
They don't do that now.
No. Now they're just like, in you go.
Give it to everyone.
Now
why
there's
not?
Just always a small population of head lice in,
continuously.
You know, 5B.
Lovely.
Actually, something is, they're kind of like a hidden compliment because don't they go in really clean hair?
That might explain why I've never had them.
So maybe if you have head lice,
it's a boost. I always thought that was a myth
to
make me wash my hair more
Could
often
be.
When I was a child.
Yeah, I thought it was a myth that my mum was just trying to make me feel better. I was like, oh, I've got lice again. I was that kid.
No, wait, as in, they don't like clean hair, or
they do clean hair, apparently.
Oh, then I've definitely mixed that up.
I think people used to associate them with being dirty and then to try and change the
cheer
opinion of that. To cheer you up, they'd be like, no, they go for clean hair. I think my own theory on head lice is that there are some children that are irresistible to head lice.
They must be tasty.
Because they never get out of their hair. They eat dandruff, they don't eat blood.
Oh.
What?
I didn't know that.
They just eat like bits of grease and
didn't know
that.
Gross.
Yeah.
The reason
it's itchy is actually their saliva that they leave.
This is getting better.
Yeah.
It's just drooling all over you, making you itchy.
So that's what's actually itchy. It's not them nibbling.
Is this more reasons why you don't touch anybody now because of like itchy drool?
I think this is making
itchy.
My case here.
Itchy drool.
Okay, Hannah.
So I think spider wasps do a service for all arachnophobes everywhere. I know that this is like a pro zoology podcast, but I'm an arachnophobe. It's very uncool to be an arachnophobe, especially if you're a bat worker, because you're supposed to like all of the sort of typically creepy animals. But anyway, spider wasps prey on spiders and really take them down in quite an aggressive manner, including wolf spiders, huntsman spiders, and baboon spiders. I don't know the third one, but the first two are horrifying, like really scary if you're scared of spiders. So what these wasps will do is find spiders, sting them so that it paralyzes them but doesn't kill them, dig a hole, drag the spider into the hole, and then lay an egg in it, and then the larvae will eat the insides of the spider, keeping the vital organs till last, so that it keeps the spider alive for as long as possible until it eventually eats the vital organs, and then the wee babs wasp comes out and repeats the cycle over again. So if you are anti scary spider, then these are certainly doing a service for you because they're just taking them down in this really like aggressive manner, one by one.
Wow.
I think you've not lucky there, because I kind of like spiders because I like that they eat flies, and because I'm not keen on flies eating dog poo and then going on my food.
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna say that leeches win that, because they help you pull. They make great pets.
Just to clarify, I didn't actually pull on that occasion.
I know.
Catherine's always constantly disappointed when I don't pull.
I just feel like it, you know, missed opportunity for that guy. Right.
What a compliment.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that the leeches win in that case. Woo!
I won one.
All right, and the last scenario. Okay, scenario number three. There's a 1950s style beauty contest and bonniest baby competition. Enter one of your life cycle stages into one of these competitions. How will he or she fare?
Okay. Okay, I think I could do this one with ticks. So most ticks have four life cycle stages. So the eggs, which are really tiny, the larvae, which are super small, nymphs, which are what I call teenager ticks, and then the adults. And I would enter the larva in to the competition. They basically are like really, really mini ticks. They don't carry any, well, oof. They don't carry as many diseases. So that's nice. I was going to say they don't carry any, but that's
human
not,
babies
not
carry
true.
Diseases.
So a lot of the diseases that ticks carry are not passed on from the mother to the egg. So, and then ticks only feed once a life cycle, so between larva to nymph, nymph to adult. So the larva haven't had a chance to pick up any diseases. So if they're feeding on, say, you, they won't pass on any of diseases because you're the first that they've fed on.
Very intense eye contact you're giving me.
Sorry.
While you say this.
And I don't know why I picked Hannah as proposed tick feeder. But they're just quite cute. They're very small.
Are they?
And they live in clumps because they all just hatch out of these eggs that are laid all together. So you just see a bunch of teeny tiny ticks all gathered together. They're kind of almost, they're not even, so adult ticks are usually like a dark brown, some of them have a bit of red on them, but they're dark colours, and these ones are quite, you know, they look almost a bit translucent-y, so yeah, I think I would appeal to people's maternal sides in the baby competition, and
for the slightly less diseased, translucent,
cute factor,
maggoty looking thing, it's very small. Okay, beat that if you can.
Try it.
So I'm going to go for the larval stage of the nematomorph. So they mate as adults in the water, which is obviously they've made their host commit suicide. They've wriggled out into the water, swimming around. Find a partner, they breed, they lay their eggs and they hatch into larvae, which then eventually go back into the host. So that's how the cycle works. So these little larvae, they're not long, creepy, malicious, wormy things. They're little squishy, like, blobby things with, like, a little taily tail that they maybe can do a little wave with. Like, you know, I think...
Wave to the judges.
People love tardigrades. People love... When you look at plankton really close up, all the, like... diatoms and stuff. People love that. So why wouldn't they love this little wriggler? You know?
So it's like a kind of little squishy maggot thing with a tail.
To wave at you with.
Right.
Says hi.
But it sounds really cute.
I love the contrast in reaction between
two things that sound
maggoty.
Very similar.
That was sarcasm. Sarcasm. right. So, two bonniest babies. Are you going to go for the adult beauty contest, or are you going to go for the bonniest baby competition?
No, I would have to go for the adult beauty contest, just because the baby versions of the wasps are inside spiders eating them alive.
And
so,
also maggoty.
Yeah, hard to get access for, you know, the catwalk and things. Lots of adult spider wasps are actually really, really beautiful. They're usually sort of black or blue, but what they mostly are metallic, and that they like kind of shimmer in the light. So they're actually really beautiful wasps if you can get on board with a beautiful wasp. And I think also I can
get on board with a beautiful wasp.
I'm going. Oh, well, that was a little come on line then.
oh. Everyone's getting a bit too excited.
Can I have a talent for the contest as well?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think she'd probably be a bodybuilder, in that lots of the times when they prey on spiders to drag into their holes, the spiders are massive in comparison to the size of the wasp. So she drags enormous tarantulas and other big spiders really far into little holes and then shoves them in the hole. So she's got the beauty, but she's also got the brawn.
Yeah, I like that. She's subverting feminine stereotypes. Yeah. She's being a great mother.
Yeah, she's
definitely the winner of this.
She's not maggoty.
She's beautiful.
Not maggoty.
She doesn't look like a maggot. I wish I was judged on those kind of same kind of criteria. Does that mean everyone's won?
Yes.
You've got all right. It's a tiebreaker.
Draw. We're not going to do a tiebreaker. But I haven't written one. I think you know we can deal with everyone being a winner here.
Aww. I think parasites are always the winner. Really.
Parasites are always the winner. All right. I think that's the end of Creature Wars. Bye.